This is Mary Barry. I am about to interview Ruth Follansbee, who is the widow of the painter John Follansbee. The date is August 1st, 1984, and we are at Mrs. Follansbee's home on North Main Street in New Hope. Mrs. Follansbee is 94 years old, and she is in bed having tea. And our interview will be conducted with my sitting beside the bed, and her daughter, Beth, is also present for the interview. I think we can now proceed. I did inadvertently, you know, erase.
And the shadow of the wind blew, I guess, sand of the wind. But somehow we survived there with our 10 children. Let's see, how long were we there for? 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And it made me really... What has attracted us to New Hope, especially, is the Birch Harrison. Now, Mr. Harrison was a teacher, art teacher, art students in New York City. They had a summer school in Woodstock, New York, where my husband Tony Lee was back and studied.
Uh-huh.
And they studied there for 2 summers. And then Mrs. Birch Harrison invited them to stay with them. And then they moved down here to New Hope, invited us to come down and see New Hope. I even fell in love with the place. So that's how we happened to come here.
Where did you come from?
We came from here, there, the other place. We had been living in Washington, Connecticut, which is very hilly country. So we were married, and my mother had a summer home. And so when we came down here, it was wonderful because we could stroll around, and Jack could roll around in his chair with comfort and go here and there, from here downtown and paint over to Barberville and paint. Thank you, dear. They see me. Is that awfully strong?
No.
Here? What?
I don't think so.
Well, you have a little fun.
You have a little lemon.
Yes,
it's very strong, you say. No. Huh? No. No, it's not.
It's not strong. It has no sugar in it. Could you fucking...
I don't take it, thank you. And does your mother take sugar?
Sometimes.
We'll put it in there, in case you do.
Yeah, have some honey there. And it tastes like tea. Yeah.
Where were you born?
Was I born?
Mm-hmm.
In Mount Carmel.
And where?
Anaconda, Mount Carmel.
In Anaconda, I want to write this down. In Anaconda?
I don't think it could have been to do this. But my father was a railroad man.
Oh.
And he moved from there to do things. And there were a lot of people that attracted to him too, like the natives. And Charles Rosen, Charlie Rosen, who returned up to Winston. And then the Redfields didn't know quite as well at first, but became very close friends later on. And then there was
the Spencers?
Huh?
The Spencers?
Yeah, with the Braydons.
The Spencers and the...
Braydon and the Spencers.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Spencer. His wife was an artist herself, but also an architect.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the nucleus of the artist group here. And they... estimated with Mrs. Bankhead always had an open house on Sunday afternoon. And people go there and exhibit the work they've been doing recently. It was quite a unique gathering. Rather limited, it wasn't. So when we first had the exhibitions at the mill, they were for the artists.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually it became organized into the Mill Association, and the character more or less has changed,
mm-hmm.
but it still seems to be a great interest to the community.
Yes, I think so.
And the plays that Emily does, Emily does, and
Dennis,
Gary, and Summers used to collaborate and produce it.
Yes, I think
so
too. Yes, I have. Uh-huh, and I think they are too.
Huh?
She's very talented. I think they are delightful too. Uh-huh.
Have you read
Emmy's history?
Yes, I have, and I want to interview her too, but I read that.
You read it?
In the Penn's
Wood. Which is, I think, very entertaining.
Very, very nice,
well,
yeah.
Emmy humor and
that's right.
Covered some of the same years, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
She has an air conditioner, a recorder, so we don't have a little lifting. Is that right?
Pardon me, I didn't hear that.
I said you have a recorder.
Yes.
You don't want too many interruptions.
Oh, that doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter because if the tape is, they get edited, you know, and anything that isn't relevant just isn't transcribed.
Yeah, if you did. It was clattering, this is like it. So, delightful people would bring things in, they would take something.
And this was by invitation, I assume.
Oh, no, you just said.
Oh, anybody could go?
Mm-hmm. But it does, not unless by invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go unless you've been invited.
Yes.
But,
it was every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The children mm-hmm. were indulged also.
They were.
We were allowed one piece of Mrs. Lathrop's bread. She made the most marvelous bread, but very thin.
Yeah, I remember. Very, very thin.
Yeah, that would be a treat.
Did you ever know the Bradens, Mary?
The Bradens?
Yes.
No, I never did.
Yes, they Ray died, he was quite a young man. Charming man and a very sensitive writer,
mm-hmm.
painter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ever been known very widely. Mr. Redfield and Mr. Dayton had a falling out as to who was the person who discovered him, which is rather ridiculous. Rather ridiculous.
Mr. Lathrop and and who?
Mr. Lathrop came.
And Mr. Braden?
What?
Mr. Lathrop and Mr. Braden had the argument?
No, Mr. Redfield.
Oh, Mr. Redfield.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was there much competition among the artists, among the painters?
No, there was not very much competition. Mm-hmm. It was a very friendly atmosphere among us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very interested in all the different work of the different painters.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lathrop would appoint himself more or less as a critic.
Mm-hmm.
People would make criticisms about the other fellows.
I see.
And it was all in good faith and very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And the children went to school. My two daughters, the two Braden daughters, the two
Spencer
children, the loved each other, and how many others did, any others did.
Well, I think the Holmquist.
And they all went to mm-hmm.
Mrs. Holmquist's nieces.
Together at one time, and Mrs. Winters. Mrs. Winters and Harriet Winters mm-hmm. and Harriet.
Marshall.
Harriet, yeah.
Marshall.
A sister of Tom Marshall. She's still living.
She's still living?
But she's in some retirement home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they met at different places. In fact, one of them, they found refuge in my house upstairs in our bedroom, which had been an absolute school room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the children told my daughter Joan went to public school in Albertville for 2 or 3 years, and Beth went 1 year there.
Because
and then they went down to the high school she did, to the high school in Albertville,
uh-huh.
before they went into the Holmquist school.
I see.
The Holmquist school, you know, is founded by Miss Holmquist. What was her first name, Beth?
Carlene. Miss Carlene? Carlene.
Carlene Holmquist.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister became associated with it. And I made it into a school that would prepare you for college.
I see.
So I took children at the Smith, just as I did.
Mm-hmm.
My mother before me. And then we outgrew them. They took the art place. So the mill was to be sold by Dr. Marshall for apartment. And I asked a few people if they thought we could afford to buy it in the community and make a community art center there. And finally they accepted that idea, and I telephoned Mr. Dr. Marshall in Philadelphia, and he said it was an excellent idea, and set the price at a reasonable price, and said I'd give about 1,000 of it. So that made it possible for us. And Bill Taylor, we appointed him as the treasurer and money raiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so we swung it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always been some confusion just as to how it started, but it was my idea that it was a shame not to have a place
uh-huh.
for tents in the area. So all kinds of changes took place in the town and on. And it's now been open to people, artists, you know, and it ranges from 30,000.
And what?
I said that now they, my voice is getting frail.
You get tired, you let me know and we'll stop.
I was saying that the limited number of people of the area were the ones who first attended the place and made it the center of discussion and art among the painters. And we had speakers who came and spoke on different questions.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of a public forum. Before, it was so many other entertainments around. But it was very well done, I must admit. And it served its purpose, I think it serves the purpose now,
mm-hmm.
the community center.
Yes. Was it always a place for a membership, a private place, so to speak, a private...
It was a private, but now you have to be elected to as a member.
Yes, it was always that way. Uh-huh.
So that way, yesterday, people just felt it was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, firstly, the stage is extremely limited.
It's what?
The stage is extremely limited area.
Yes, right.
And I remember a play called Springtime in England, some years ago. And it's the story of a woman who tried to escape all her friends, tired to death with all the social going on, and everybody comes to see her and it's over down there. And it's a very amusing play. Well, Mr. Chapin, Henry Chapin, was in it, and also Mr. Stephen Sprang was a teacher at the school. And the place where he was supposed to interrupt me and come in on the stage, said me. I saw him with just his shorts on waiting. He'll say something when I get to the front of my parents. I'm here. And Mr. the headmaster at that time was some of the proctor. He was going through the page and trying to find out where all this conversation came from. Anyway, he finally rolled himself and appeared a bit flustered. So then and there inside the stage would have to be bigger. And people would have to have dressing rooms downstairs. So that made me bothering her downstairs with them. And in fact, Beth had a wedding reception there, didn't she, Beth?
I did.
Yes,
that was impromptu too, wasn't it?
It was?
Well, we, Mother had two little English children who arrived in the middle of the summer of 1940, just about 2 weeks before we were to be married, and they arrived with the chicken pox.
Oh dear.
Or the measles, or some dear disease.
Uh-huh.
At that time they used to put a, you know, a sign on the door saying, I'm telling of this dread thing that was going
That's
on.
That's right, I remember those signs.
We weren't allowed to have a reception here.
Kevin, what George is doing
now? Well, George is officially retired, but he's still going back to work. And he's fine, and he told me to tell you that he'd love to come see you if you felt like you would like to see him.
I would love to see Governor Minnesota. If you're coming back something stronger than tea or not, I don't know.
Well, tea would be just fine. Tea is always fine.
Yeah.
Well, now, did you do a lot of acting in these plays?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
I did quite an amusing thing. They were very, very famous. Some of them were old Irish plays, and they were the ideal place for those because there was a door out onto the street right near the corner. It opened right onto the stage. And so the Irish plays were just perfect. I had to be careful as they went over going across it. And first of all, we used to dress over at Mrs. Baker's house before we got the dressing room downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, were these plays that were published plays, or were these written by the membership?
What?
Were these plays written by the membership?
Well, not really.
Some were and some were not.
Miss Carlene was a very spirited actress, wasn't she? Miss Carlene Holmquist, didn't she take the
coming of the places that Emmy Lee Frost was here, and she and Dolly Summers was up here.
Schlesinger,
yes. Huh? Schlesinger.
Mm-hmm. They collaborated on the same.
Musicals.
And she most of them. I can't be helping news. Emily was a book of the book. And so she came to me once and said, Ruth, I'm going to write a play making fun of you.
Huh?
I said, how come? When all your causes, all the things you're interested in. I said, well, I'm all right to go ahead and do it, but who's going to play the part? And she said, you are.
Oh,
said,
dear.
That is really something more. I don't know, you have to rewrite it before I can tell you. Called the Brownstone Front, and it was a very amusing
place. The Brownstone
Front. Houses in New York, so many brownstones.
That's
front.
Right.
In fact, I've been to New York going to the ballet school. I was there for 10 years. And the last one that Emmy and Dolly did, it was a great success, but I didn't see it.
But you didn't play? Did you play in it? Did you play yourself? Yes, you did. Well, that you were a good sport.
I can think of it, but I collected all this money because he kept it.
Tell me about these causes. What were some of the causes you were interested in?
I was interested in the women's owners helped to found it in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And the women's International League for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Urban League, which my mother founded, interested black people. I worked quite a bit for that before I was married. And then those are the principal things I was interested in. Took a great deal of my time. She wrote the thing before I ran for the borough council. I was the first woman to be on the borough council.
Oh, you were?
Yes, and that was rather disturbing.
Oh?
I never forget the president of the borough council, rather there looking around at wondering what committee he could appoint me to. And he said, Mrs. Thornsby, would you be chairman of the fire committee? I said, yes, and then I would have to run to the fire. So a little bit of humor was out of place.
I see. Didn't like
it
that,
quite
no.
Quite a slow.
I can imagine. That's funny.
But the Historical Society, I'm very interested in it, but I just can't take part.
No, well,
to my other things.
Of course there are, yes.
And it's been a great asset to the town.
Didn't your doctor, Art Rickford, have a great deal to do with that?
Yes, he was president for many years and really sort of founded it. Yes,
Art Rickford was hot, he really started it.
Yes, he really did, And as a matter of fact, it's his estate that is helping to fund this study we're doing, which is nice.
Well, I miss him terribly.
So do we, Mrs. Follinsby, very much. They were our best friends. And of course, we see a lot of Linda still.
I had a good fortune. I was getting ready to take a nap, and I was sitting on the edge of the bed at the same. But I kicked off, I'd taken off my shoes, so waiting for the nurse to help me get in.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Art appeared at the door. I said, but Art, what do I owe the unexpected pleasure? He said, it's a social call. I said, well, Art, I prefer to entertain my gentlemen friends in the living room. He put my shoes on. So he got down on his knees and said, "It was about these of Ferragamo's shoes." I said, "Yes, but I can't wear them anymore, they're too small. And I can't afford them, it's some $75 a month." He said, "No, indeed, they're $125.
That's
I know, he said, "because they go up."
Linda.
That's right.
So we had a wonderful little talk, and about a week later he was done.
Wasn't it?
So many people died every year.
So unnecessary.
Yes, it was unnecessary.
Yes, it was indeed.
Then that David was. The antidote that he was in the bag with.
But it was, I guess, too late, yes. Well, tell me something more, if you can, about your husband's painting. Did it change over a great deal while he was here?
It never, what I call, flopped. Like some of the painters flopped with the modern way of painting,
mm-hmm.
which was not really sincere.
Mm-hmm.
At least I didn't think it was, because that wasn't very expression of their feeling about painting. It was successful to a certain degree, but not the people of whom I spoke. Robert Spencer and Gray Braden and Mr. Baker was always true to his style. And my husband developed his painting very much. Some of it, we went to Maine the first time in the 30s. He fell in love with the ocean and the water. So he did a great deal of painting after that in the water scene. Now, Mr. Stewart is not as interested in that. He likes the earlier paintings of New Hope.
Yes, well, I suppose, you know, people buy those. From New Hope, maybe that's why he's interested.
Something to do with the area of this world. And he tried by hook and crook to get the painting over the Shillings.
The one over the mantle?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's called Zero 19.
Zero Morning.
Zero morning?
That's what it's called.
Zero temperature, in other words. Mm-hmm.
He got it in an exhibition at the Trenton Museum. I don't know if you had a chance to see
it. No, I missed that, and I'm sick about it.
It's a shame. It's a beautiful exhibition.
So I heard.
He collected paintings from museums, private owners, and it's a very representative exhibition. So I was able to go there and went to the opening and I rose around in Jack's chair because he couldn't stand up so long. And then I went to the, Linda took me down to the exhibition the day before it closed. So I really then had no chance to see it and not talk to people. You have an opening, everybody wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's happened to my voice. It's one of the things I guess that happens as you grow old.
Well, I think it's pretty good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Absolutely. Yeah. I can hear very well. Well, did his painting change much over time or just get...
What?
Did his painting change much over time? Did he change his style at all? Or?
Okay, but he did not, and they said a flop.
Mm-hmm.
He's so new that he kept faith in his... And
with, yes, with the way his feelings about it.
And that developed.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It was fascinating to see how it did. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm...
He painted very broad and mm-hmm. painted very quickly. He'd paint some big canvas and look day or two. And he would sometimes sit up and take till 2 o'clock in the morning. I had to go and run him out and tell him to come back to the bed. Then, of course, you can't tell anything about Jack without speaking about him. By evening, to parties that he gave.
Oh?
They were called the Scientific Society. And I know George attended one case of poker. They played poker in the
school. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Yes, George remembers those very well. They were called scientific evenings?
Yes.
I see.
I had some very funny episodes in there. But they liked to play here. In the first place, I didn't interfere with them. I went to bed. Mm-hmm. And left them with the supplies of cheese and beer and crackers and whatnot. And it was one night I heard a great powwow going on in the kitchen about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I heard Jack's voice say, "But I know who cooked a ham and made a big cake."
Oh, dear.
I just don't think of it.
Where?
Under my bed.
Oh, good for you. You weren't so dumb, were you?
We were going to have guests for the weekend. I wanted to prepare for their coming, but I didn't want poker players to come.
No, and they would have, I'm sure.
I think Mary liked the iced tea.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Absolutely not. No. Are you getting tired, Mrs. Follinsby? Because we can stop any time. Now, tell me a little more, if you would, about how the town has changed. You said it had changed for the worse.
It changed, yes, for the worse. When we came here, this house we bought from the Mannings of Trenton. They owned extensive property here. And we bought this piece that had been a tomato patch field, a big field. And there were no trees on it except two trees that are still there until the poplars that came up from the roots of an old plant that had died. And so a man by the name of Morgan Cote was the architect for the place. Did you ever know the Cotes?
I know the name. No, I never knew them.
I don't think you did. Morgan died shortly after he was the architect for the place. He must have died sometime in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Because we moved into this house just before Christmas 1924. And of course the house was built with the idea of everything on the first floor for Jack and me. And the bathroom was here on this room, and then I had another little room next door, which was turned into a baby room for Johnny, my daughter John, later on. And that was the library. And then, my mother was moving from Washington, Connecticut. She said, "I want you to take my furniture." I said, "But Mother, we have no dining room. There's not any place for all this big furniture, big dining room." "Well, you'll have a dining room sometime."
Sounds like a mother.
One of those things you never had. So we had this huge furniture in there, but somehow it's worked out.
Well, good. Good. Yeah. So what else has changed around you?
Everything else has changed. Well, there were trees on the street with young saplings.
Mm-hmm.
The street was dirt street.
Mm-hmm.
And the church changed to state road to here, but down under the mayor Dr. McGill's, Jim McGill's father.
Oh.
Who was a very fine eye doctor.
This is Jim McGill's father or Bill?
He was the mayor of the town.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't want anything of any value to a good cause. I happened during President Roosevelt's administration.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we're not going to turn our voting, turn it over to the state. But that's a misfortune because we didn't vote. What happens is these big trucks, stone trucks, come lumbering through the road.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes the traffic downtown jammed. And that slowly has acquired a reputation of being a rather undesirable center for the people who come. It's great in drinking, you know. And I don't know many of the people who come. I really don't know them. So I shouldn't say too much. But I do know that we had a dope pusher.
Dope pusher.
Right across the street.
My goodness.
Just above where Mrs. Ramsey used to live. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't disturbed the equanimity of my home, but it's made a great difference in the town.
I should imagine.
This town on weekends, it's just a hullabaloo.
Yes, it's true. I don't come on weekends. I guess nobody does who lives.
The parking is all the way into the corner.
All the way filled, I know.
I came home here at 11 o'clock last Saturday night, and they were there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I'm sure of it. Absolutely. Well, also, I imagine the river traffic has changed a great deal. I know it did up our way in Point Pleasant. The river changed so with the tubes coming down and all the traffic on the river in recent years.
And the traffic coming down, injection would be the tubes and things.
Yes,
the
very much so.
The traffic is at least quiet, relatively.
Well,
it's
not up our way.
Racing.
in the power boats.
Racing boats.
Mm-hmm.
You see those little ones in your house?
We can't now, no. But before we moved up in Point Pleasant, we were right on the river, even closer than you are, actually.
I remember that.
Yes, I remember very well. Linda brought you.
Yes, I
certainly do. Were you, was this how, were you in this house where you were in 1955 in the flood?
Yes, I wasn't here. I was in Maine. And Charlie Hilliard, who looked after the house, telephoned me and said, tell me the flood is coming up. And then it was coming up the street. It was not coming over the road. And he did not take it inside my house. In the meantime, he had had the pump removed. And the furnace loaded from the cellar. And that was flooded, and I lost a lot of things in there that I never had in place, particularly a little old-fashioned hat trunk. His mother used to carry her trunks for me, hats for me.
Yes, I remember.
And that was full of my mother's and father's letters and very interesting papers. Oh. I was just a pup. I came back. They saved it for me to look into it. And the only thing I found was a little diary that I could very read. And my father said, Ruth was born August 8th, 1819. So I was a certificate in my birth.
You were born August 8th, 1890?
Oh, yeah, 10 years to the date.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was up this morning, but I kind of thought I was going to have to act as nurse. I better get to bed. It's sometimes difficult.
Yes, I imagine so. Well, you know, I think really we've talked enough today.
I haven't had enough information. The last night we would hire a barge that had been carrying coal.
You what?
We would hire a barge that had been carrying coal from Easton down to Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And they put straw on the bottom. And we'd sit down there, we had no seats, no, and it would be well manned driving the mules.
Then what?
Well manned driving the
mules. Oh, uh-huh.
We usually had a pair of mules, but sometimes only one. And we'd gather there together and take it. Each of us would pay about $5. And we'd go up the river to a place near Point Pleasant called
something about Fiddle, the Cat and the Fiddle.
Slobbery Run. Slobbery Run.
Slobbery.
Slobbery. S-L-O-B-B-L-O. Slobbery Run. It is where a brook came down over rocks and made the most terrific noise. Smoke could go up from the nose and there. And we all get out and somebody would carry my husband up there and we'd have an outdoor picnic and cook outdoors. You could then make a fire anywhere as long as you put it out. And it cost about, I think it cost even less than $5 a piece.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And we'd always sing songs coming down. We didn't have music provided for us. Sometimes somebody had a guitar, but that was an extension of the orchestra. And it was beautiful with the moon coming, light coming down through the branches. And we went in all kinds of weather, but mostly in the fall and spring. And that was before, of course, the canal was still operating then. The little house we lived in across the street had the canal right behind it. And you could hear them coming along with the bells ringing on the mules. And it was such a simple way to have a good time. Now you have to pay out of the what? To go for a ride or they didn't go to the nearest bar. It's all commercialized.
Yes, I know it is. Did you, at these parties, was there beer drunk or whiskey or just soft drinks or?
Oh, I don't think we had anything besides. So I don't think I even remember anybody having anything ready to drink.
Mm-hmm.